rise again, 'cause God is a Republican.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickssmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. So it looks like my home state of Ohio going through a little bit of, my new state of Pennsylvania has went through a couple years ago. You had the little Joe Paterno thing. Did he know? Did Joe know that, you know, his right-hand man was, you know, fiddling with the little boys? Did he know? I've taken the position, don't care if he knew or not. He should have known. Paterno was a control freak. He should have known what was going on in his locker rooms. Now we're seeing in Ohio, Representative Jim Jordan being accused of knowing that a team doctor was fiddling about with some of the wrestlers. In fact, a number of people have come forward, and Jordan saying they're liars. Here to share some thoughts on just how crazy things have gotten in Ohio, I've asked our good friend Brett Pransky to come talk with us. He's the Democratic candidate for state representative in Ohio's 77th House District. Teacher, writer, dad, all of that stuff. Great guy. Brett, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
So am I getting this right? There's some shenanigans going on with Jordan and Ohio State and all of that?
Yeah, well, apparently this all... it goes back a number of years, but apparently we had a situation where there's a team doctor who has now been accused of many different counts of sexual impropriety. I'm not sure exactly what title we would put on any actual charge or anything like that. But the big question now is, what did Jordan know and when did he know it? And it looks like things are still pretty fluid. I saw a Fox News interview with him earlier today where he basically said that the majority of his accusers were simply lying. I think there's five people on the record now, including a former heavyweight or UFC heavyweight champion, Mark Coleman, who was a wrestler here at Ohio State, which I found particularly interesting because his statement on the case was really hard to deflect. He basically said that Only if he had dementia could he not remember the conversations that they had at that time about this abuse.
Right.
So, which makes it really odd that he would step up and just say that all these folks are lying. It's really hard to buy that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that gets me is, you're talking about, as I've been reading through this, you're talking about, basically grown men, at this point, college age, people who are used to kicking somebody's behind, I'm kind of shocked by it, but it's not surprising, given things that I've learned over the past. I mean, I went to a high school where the athletic director was fiddling around with the boys for generations. In fact, he was the guy that my mother used as the example of who to stay away from when I was a kid. And when, 2 years after I graduated, when someone finally came forth, there were like 250 people who had come forward saying that he had done, all these things to them in multiple states over like a 25-year period.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you look at situations like this, and it's I don't want to say it's interesting because it's, that seems kind of insensitive. But when you think about the folks that this happened to, we're not just talking about athletes. We're talking about athletes in their prime and some pretty tough individuals, too. It kind of shows you that it's not necessarily about physicality or physical prowess, or that's not necessarily what power is. You know what I mean? So what we seem to be dealing with here is a kind of situation where, folks are put up against, they're put in situations that are dominated by powerful people, and powerful people, tend to get their way in these situations. And in these instances, it doesn't really matter who the other person is.
Right. No, it's the establishment. And I'm glad you brought that up. This was this athletic director. Who his name was all over the football stadium. His name was on the basketball arena. His name was on the nanatorium, on the ice rink. His name was everywhere. And the thing is that everybody knew it. Everybody, the whispers, the rumors, the joy boys and all of the rumors about him, doing all of these bizarre things were swirling everywhere for decades. And none of the powerful people in the community did anything about it. And this is where, I look at Jordan and look, I don't know what's in his head or in his heart, but it's one of these scenarios where I don't know how you don't hear these things in a locker room. I don't know how you don't know that, hey, stay away from that guy. There's something weird about him. I just don't know how you get away with that.
Yeah, but again, I mean, we've seen these kinds of things over and over and over again, and in a lot of different environments too. I mean, keep in mind we've got a guy in the Oval Office right now who's been accused, you know, by what is it, 19 or 20 different people with pretty credible cases,
right?
And he's just able to power right through it.
And him actually admitting, you know, I just go grab him by the you know what.
Yeah, I mean, he actually said it out loud. And so at some point we have to ask, why is it that we allow this to happen? And at some point, when does our ability to allow it to happen become an endorsement of it? You know, when does this become, you know, okay with us, you know, just because we're not willing to do anything to stop it?
Now, let me ask you this, because, you know, going back to the case that I know about, of this athletic director, the vast majority of people who came forward were not able to testify or to bring charges because statute of limitations at that point had just been 2 years. So ultimately, this guy ended up with like 18 months in a jail, in like a country club kind of jail, where he served like, I guess, 6 or 8 months. He got a slap on the wrist. He was out with his retirement and everything. So he was fine. Because, you know, all the statute of limitations at the time was 2 years. Has that changed? Because this stuff happened back, you know, I guess 88 through 94, right?
Right. And, you know, when we think about these kinds of everything from the statute of limitations to, you know, kind of these slap on the wrist kinds of, you know, kinds of things out there, we're talking about the law and order, you know, side of the aisle here. The folks who, I mean, this is their thing. The idea that we don't let this kind of stuff happen, and we stand up for justice, and we punish criminals, and we take care of people who, you know, who are victims, and all that kind of, you know, I mean, presidencies have been won on the idea of law and order and being the one who stands up, you know, to these kinds of, so why is it when it comes to this particular issue, why are we so weak? You know, why are we not able to step up and do the right thing about it? I find it puzzling. I can't really understand it.
Well, it's like, you know, it's the Roy Moore thing. Well, we don't think they would do such a thing. We believe. It's the we believe crowd. Even right. Trump himself says he believes Jim Jordan 100%, has no doubts whatsoever that he's telling the truth.
Right. But even that is, you know, if you dig just a couple inches down, you find out that that's not really the case. I mean, you know, especially my competitors on the right, they always try to fake news everything. You know, everything is fake news. It must be false. It can't be true. Well, really, we all know, you know, and for example, Jim Jordan has been, you know, has been spouting off on TV and in hearings talking about how the Mueller investigation is all a big mess and it should have never happened and stuff like that. I think there's very few of us out there who actually think he believes any of that stuff. You know, we all know pass blocking for the White House when we see it. And there's so few people who actually believe that stuff. And the reason why is because it is so unbelievable.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope you're right that he doesn't believe it, and it's just part of the. To be honest, I don't know which is worse: if he were a true believer, or if he were doing it just because it was the game. And now that I think about it, I think it would be worse if he wasn't a true believer, and he was just doing it because it is the game.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, and again, that the fact that that is the game, and that stuff tends to work as well as it does. That's on us as individuals, as voters, as citizens, to step up and be better at what we do. The fact that we're so easily taken in by these things, and most of the time it's a matter of convenience. I want something to be true, so I allow it to be true. You know, I don't actually look at it. I don't actually, you know, look at the facts of any individual case or anything like that. I don't really do any work. Because think about it. In order to believe most of the fake news claims that you hear out there, you actually have to believe that the entire media world can get together and tell the exact same story without deviating from one another. You know, and yet your guy is the only one telling the truth. Now, I don't believe that that type of coordination is humanly possible, you know. So how in the world can we claim that it's happening? I mean, if the news is fake, then that's the most efficient and large, you know, group con that has ever existed, because you just simply can't coordinate, you know, messages in that way. It's ridiculous, but there it is.
Right, across multiple agencies. Look, I look at fake news. I look at Fox News, which I used to call fake news before Trump, you know, co-opted the phrase. They are really on message, and, you know, giving people like Jordan the space to go, nope, liars, liars, all of liars.
Yeah, and even then, even with them rolling softballs at him like they did today, He was able to attack the character of two of his accusers, but not the other three. The other three, he was not able to explain anything about why they would say what they would say. You know, including the one who said that he must be, you know, suffering from dementia if he doesn't remember these conversations that they had all those years ago. So, and not to mention, these folks don't really have any reason to come out and lie.
Right.
You know,
maybe it was the drugs he was doing.
As they come forward and as they talk about it, he says, well, I don't really know, but they're mistaken. That's a pretty big thing to be mistaken about. If CNN calls me and says, hey, what do you remember about this? I'm going to, you know, I'm not just going to guess. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell them what I know. I'm going to tell them what I don't know. And I'm going to tell them what I don't remember. The idea that, you know what, I'll just make something up because, you know what, I feel like causing this guy a bunch of trouble.
No, those are things you remember. Like, I mean, those are things you remember vividly. Like, look, I had I had a couple of moments in my childhood that I remember going, this is uncomfortable. And one was with the athletic director when I first moved into the school. My mother had just passed away, and you know, I was prime target. He called me down into his little office, which was in the boys' locker room right in front of the shower, which is a very curious place for the athletic director to have an office. And his hand went from my shoulder to my behind, and immediately I bolted for the door. And I remember that vividly. And going, this guy's a creep. I got to stay away. So it's not something that you ever forget. So this idea that they don't remember it right, or that's ludicrous.
Yeah, no, that would certainly seem to be the case. I mean, again, I was very fortunate not to go through a trauma of that variety as a young kid. But there were other traumas, and believe me, you remember them, you know, distinctly. You know, I just, the idea that they're just mistaken, I'm not buying it. I don't think anybody else is either.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because let's bring it to your campaign. This is why we need good, decent, honest people in the legislature. And I don't know if the statute of limitations, you know, precludes this guy from being, you know, tried and ultimately convicted. Not Jordan, the doctor. And, you know, who knows, even Jordan for lying. I don't know. But this is why I think we need people of good conscience in the General Assembly, in your legislature, to weed out the corruption. Because I don't know what's going on in Ohio, but it doesn't seem like the Republicans are on the very up and up.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. And I got to tell you, I was probably guilty of not paying enough attention. Like many of my fellow Ohioans, I'm not paying enough attention before I decided to get into the race and to put my name out there. But since I have, and since I've really dug into it, and since it's become a daily thing for me, I am stunned, you know, daily by what I find and by the way things are run and by just. You know, and again, here we have a situation. We don't just have a Republican majority; we have a Republican supermajority. All right, which we can keep in mind that I think, due to gerrymandering, I believe it wasn't 2016; it was 2012. We picked up 55% of the votes in our state house races, won 33% of the seats. So, and that's how they got this power.
Right.
It was through these gerrymandered districts. So, even though we won the popular vote and won it big, we still weren't able to gain control. And that's one of the things that, you know, that we have some issues with now. I'm up against a pretty tough district because of some of those same things. But the thing is, I think people are just so motivated, you know, to go and just to get these guys out of there because they've been causing so much trouble. We just went through the largest scandal in Ohio's history with ECOT, that cyber charter that they just released a new report on that. And the total of the money stolen is now upwards of $200 million. Right. And and just the other day, just now, because it's become an issue in the campaign, Mike DeWine, who's running for governor, who's the current attorney general, has decided that he's going to try to recover some of that money, that he's going to sue ECOT's founder and try to recover some of that money. Now, today he decides that, which couldn't be more fake. And he said he's had his hands tied or something. I can't remember his exact language, but he said he wasn't able to pursue it before now, but now he can. And I don't know exactly what that means, but you know, it sounds pretty weak to me.
And again, this is why we need good, decent, honest people like you to get into the house there. So tell me, how is the campaign going? You know, what are you hearing from people when you're knocking on doors and kissing babies and shaking hands and all that.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, people are fired up. You know, the team's been out there knocking doors. We've been getting great responses from people. You know, and not everybody's in our camp, but I've found that even the folks who historically have voted against the Democratic Party, even folks who have told me outright that they're going to be voting for my opponent, they're all interested in hearing what change sounds like. So, you know, they're interested in the ideas. They're interested in hearing what I would do and how I would change things and what I would do differently, and so on. So even the people who have already committed to my opponent are still listening. They're still paying attention. Now, that said, we're going to have to go out and make enough Democrats to win this, you know, which I think we can do. I really do. People are fired up. People are motivated. And I think we're going to get over the top. But I'm impressed by the people that I'm running into who, even though they have historically backed my opponent or backed the Republican Party, they're still listening. They still want to know what change sounds like, and they'd like to bring some here to Ohio.
Yeah, at the end of it, you got to be tired of what you're seeing coming out of your legislature, which is, you know, just corruption and abuse, and, you know, because there have been scandals for years. I was thinking, you know, just right this afternoon, there was a workers' comp scandal with gold and stuff a couple of years ago, gold coins and all kinds of craziness that you just go, please, somebody back somewhere near sanity. Because when I lived in Ohio, it was a Democratic state. You had two Democratic senators. Granted, you know, one had a pink tie, loved him. But, you know, it seemed more sane back then.
We're still a Democratic state. So it's just a matter of, it's just a matter of getting people out there and getting over, you know, some of the voting difficulties, let's just call them, that have been introduced into the system in the past several years, you know, to get over some of the gerrymandering and some of the other stuff that's been going on. Because the vote, we're winning the votes. We're winning the popular vote. It's just not translating into seats.
There you go.
And that's, you know, and that's the problem that we've run up against. And that's where the line drawing and the gerrymandering has really swayed things in a pretty terrible way.
Yeah, it is. If people want to check out your website, brettpransky.com, we'll shoot it out so people can take a look, maybe make a couple of donations, maybe get one of those cool T-shirts you got there.
Yeah, I'd be happy to send them anywhere in the country.
There you go. Brett, I appreciate the time. I wish you the best and hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
All right, thanks a lot, Rick.
Good stuff. Again, brettpransky.com. You can also follow him at Brett Pransky on Twitter. All good stuff. And look, at the end of the day, the sad reality is this kind of horrible stuff happens, and you need people who are going to hold those accountable. Just that simple. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, Rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back.